Lord's here today, the Bible says the blessings of the Lord make rich, and addeth no sorrow to it. Over in Proverbs, it says that, and it's the truth. The blessings of the Lord are so rich today. I'm glad you're here in the house of the Lord. Our desire today is that you be blessed, that you be encouraged, and maybe challenged a wee bit before the day's over. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. We'll begin reading in verse 13. If you don't, well, you can read it off the wall. Praise God. It's a handy tool, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 is where we'll read today. And we're going to talk to you, preach to you a little bit about the rapture today. I believe that the rapture is something that's imminent. Could happen at any moment. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote about the rapture, where this would be in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter or 15th chapter, or here or anywhere else in the Bible when it's written about, talked about, they always expected it to happen at any moment within their lifespan. And that should be also our frame of mind, that it could happen at any moment within our lifespan. When I was about 9 years old, back when I was first introduced to the Beatles, that's about when it was, two very important things happened to me. First off, I was 8 years old, I got saved, Little Assembly God Church in Oklahoma City. When I was 9 years old, I was introduced to the world through that ungodly music. But I was also, at that time, introduced to a Free Holiness Church in Payton, Oklahoma, 9 or 10 years of age, where they preached hell hot and heaven real. But during that time frame, the reason I mentioned it, that's just kind of that time frame of my life, I dreamed about heaven. The only time, but that particular time, I dreamed that the Lord came. It's about 9 or 10 years old. And it was just as real to me as if it was happening right then. When I woke up the next morning, I was excited about the coming of Jesus as a little boy. Preteen, just knew that Jesus was going to come anytime, and it would be within my lifespan. Here I am, 53, 54 years later, and Jesus still hasn't come. But I still believe that it will be within my lifespan. That I am that terminal generation. That generation that will see the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of glory. I believe we're that generation. If I'm wrong, no biggie. I'll wait for him. Wait for his return. My body will lie in a grave. But my body, my spirit man will be in heaven with him until then. Still going to be good, either way. But even so, as it says in the end of the Bible, the Revelations, the last chapter, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Even so, come quickly. Let's read our text today. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now, think about that for a minute. You might want to underline that. Paul didn't say this just because he wanted to say it. By the word of the Lord. God spoke to his heart and said, this is how it is. It's by the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Heavenly Father, once again we ask your blessing upon our time together. We ask, Lord, your anointing upon these lips of clay and upon our ears to hear and receive what the Spirit would say to us today through your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. What we're talking about today is a term that we call rapture. We got back in the early 70s when we got back in church real good, my wife and I, we would have rapture drills at our church. I don't know if y'all ever did that or not, but we'd have what they called a rapture drill. And somebody out of the clear blue, the pastor or the pastor's wife or somebody would set it up, and they wouldn't necessarily, but all of a sudden somebody would stand and yell at the top of their voice, "Rapture time!" And everybody in there would jump up as fast as they could. Some of them never made it off the pew. But that was our goal. We would listen for that, expect that at any moment, in any service. It wouldn't happen every service. It wouldn't, might not happen for a month or two or three or four. But all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, somebody would stand and yell, "It's rapture time." But we was anticipating those yells. Just as if we would, just how we anticipate the coming of Jesus now, when one day the Bible said here that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We anticipate the rapture. We anticipate Jesus stepping out on the clouds of glory. We anticipate the archangel, the voice of the archangel, when we anticipate the trump of God sounding. And the Bible says it will happen. I'll get on into that in a minute. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it will happen. Faster than you can blink, we will be out of here. Gravity will lose its hold. We will go be catapulted into our eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says very plainly here, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And so we're talking about the rapture today. This word is derived from the Latin word raptus, which means to be caught away or caught up. You say, well, that word, it doesn't say rapture in the Bible. I've never found it. I've never read it either. But it talks about being caught up. It talks about being caught away. And that word there defined means a rapture. A raptus means to be caught away. And so one day you and I will be, if you're a Christian, caught away and catapulted into eternity, just like I said, one of these days. And so there's another word called a Greek word called harpazio, which is translated, it also means caught up. And we see it also today in our scripture. It says that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up or raptured up out of here. Now, there is a train of thought, and I do not apply to this, and I do not believe it this way, but there are some that believe the rapture will take place in the middle of the tribulation period, maybe about 3.5 years in. And then there's another train of thought that it will not happen until the end of the tribulation period, and then the church will be caught out of here. I am considered, and I hope you are considered, pre-trib today, that we get out of here, we are caught up prior to the tribulation that Jesus says will come upon this earth, as after that the church is caught out, and he that is letteth is taken out of the way, or the Spirit, Holy Spirit's influence is removed from the earth. You don't want to be left behind. You don't want to be left here when the Holy Spirit's influence is taken away, when he that which restraineth no longer restrains evil. He's going to be caught out, taken out of the way. He'll still be here, but he will no longer restrain evil. Can you imagine how wicked this world will be when there's no one to hold back the wickedness? When the church is gone and the Holy Spirit says, and God, the Holy Spirit says, I will no longer hold back. I'll no longer restrain this evilness, the evil that's in this world. I'll let them run roughshod and just let them go rampantly wild. Can you imagine how bad it will be then, considering how bad it's already become? How wicked men's hearts are already? Church, we want to go before the tribulation. And I believe that that's the way it's going to be. So we are here today to talk to you about being caught away in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And once again, I want to say it only includes the faithful of the church. Not everybody that sits in the church today will go in the rapture. They'll be left behind. I do not wish to be left behind, and that's a fear that I have in my life, a godly fear that keeps me on my knees and keeps me aware of the fact that I must live righteous and holy in the eyes of God, and because I want to go when He calls me. And if I should die before He calls us away in the rapture, I want to know that once they throw that dirt in my face, that I am ready to go to heaven, and I will be go into heaven. I'll come back and be glory in my body and be raptured out of here with the rest of you one of these days. But I want to know that I'm going to get out of here. I want to go meet the Lord in the air with the rest of you. But if I don't live a holy and righteous life and I'm not doing my best to live for God, it's very, very likely, more likely than not, that I'll be left behind. You don't want to be left behind, friends. You want to go in the rapture. I used to have a fellow that attended our church, and he attended it more than once, two or three different times, come and go, and hadn't been back in several years now, but he ascribed to the, I don't care when the rapture is, and I just know that if I ain't ready, I'm not worrying about being ready, I'll just get ready after Jesus comes. Now that was his idea. I'll know that the church is gone, and I'll know now I need to get ready. And I'll go through the tribulation, and I'll serve God while the tribulation's going on, and I'll be one of those martyrs or those witnesses for Him, and I'll be okay. I said, dude, I guess next time I catch you in the altar, I need to take my gun and go ahead and secure your salvation, because you're very likely not going to make heaven with that idea. And so I'll catch you in the altar, know you're prayed up, and I'll just go ahead and send you home. That's how ludicrous. That's my idea is stupid too, but that's how dumb his idea was. Now, I never told him that, but I was thinking, man, I'll just get you out of here while you got a chance. Because if you can't live for God now, how in the world do you think you're going to live for God then, when there's no Spirit of God to draw you, nothing to lead you, no hope? I mean, good grief, everything going on, and you can't live for God now, you ain't going to make it then. You might be able to, and some will. The Bible teaches us that some will. But I'm not going to chance it. How about you? What assurances you have after you've denied Christ your whole life, hadn't lived for Him and did your own thing, that He'll even deal with you during the tribulation period, that you'll even have the opportunity to turn to Him. You'll be one of them. He's turned over, quite possibly turned over to some kind of reprobate mind. You won't want to have nothing to do with God. You don't want nothing to do with Him now. Why in the world would you want something to do with Him then? Come on now. I'm not being ugly. I'm trying to make a point here. You need to be ready. You need to be ready. Right just prior to the rapture, the Bible says that Jesus is going to descend from heaven. Can you imagine that? He's just going to step out on the clouds. He's going to step out on the clouds. He's going to descend from heaven, from His throne in heaven, from the right hand of the seat of God, the grace, from the right hand of the throne, where He's seated. The Bible says He's seated in heavenly places, making intercession for you and I. He's going to step out from that, step out on the clouds. He's going to make an ascension down to where we can see Him. And then the archangel's going to shout, and the trump of God's going to sound, and we're going to, before we can hardly even look up, we're going to be out of here. But we're going to hear that archangel shout, and we're going to hear the trump of God, and we're going to see Jesus. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when all these people come out of the graves, they burst open, and we are catapulted up into the heavens with them, and all these, nobody will see, I don't know that anybody will see it other than the spiritual. And we're all going up, we can see over there, and we'll see hey, you made it, didn't you? I didn't think you would. Let's go. That's what some people's going to say to me. They're going to fly over towards Tecumseh right quick, towards my house, and see if the pastor's going up or not. We'll see if that rascal made it. If he made it, anybody can. That's how they feel about some of us, isn't it? If he can make it, anybody can. Well, I hope I make it. I'm trying to stay right with God. And I want to make it. But we're going someday. The Bible says he's going to descend from heaven for his church, and the resurrection of the dead in Christ will occur. Verse 16 of our text today. And that's not the same resurrection found in Revelation 20 chapter 4. That's a latter day event that's going to happen after Christ returns to the earth, destroys the wicked, binds up Satan, and then that resurrection will include the martyred dead of the tribulation, possibly all the Old Testament saints. We don't know for sure, but we know this. That's not the same one. That's a different one. You don't want to wait for that one. You want to go in this one, the first one. Hallelujah. Jesus is not going to come back and restore his kingdom at that time, but then he's going to open the vials and open the seals, and who is the only one that's worthy to do that is Jesus. The book of Revelation says that he's going to open that up and pour all this stuff up out upon the earth. And you know, if you read over in Revelation, John sees all these things happening, and then he gets to a certain point, he starts to, and he says, close the book. We're not going to show what that is. There's things that's not even written that's going to happen to this earth and to the ungodly. And folks, you don't want to experience that. You don't want to be stung with by scorpions. You don't want to have hailstones hit you. You don't want to be in a part of a nuclear holocaust. You don't want to be a part of any of the things that's going to go on in the end time. You want to be raptured or caught away, and you want to go be with the Lord in that marriage supper of the Lamb for seven. Man, I'm looking forward to that banquet. How about you? We eat pretty good around here every Sunday, but you can't imagine what that's going to be. And it's all going to be non-fat. Actually, it'll have all the fat and all the sugar you could possibly want. But it won't harm you a bit because you'll be in your glorified body. Oh, pecan pie. German chocolate cake. Oh, my. Can be fried food. I guarantee you there'd be chicken on that buffet. At least in the preacher section. Probably have it reserved for the preachers, fried chicken. I want to go, church, and not just because I can go eat all I want to eat when I want to eat it. I want to go be with the Lord. I want to be reunited with my loved ones that's gone on before. I want to see, but more than anything, I do want to see Jesus. So he's going to come back. Just as the dead in Christ are raised up, we will be translated and raised together with them. I don't know exactly. It's a supernatural event, so I can't know exactly how this all takes place. I don't have the ability to think it out in my mind, but in my mind, what I do think about this is the reason they're raised first is because they're 6 foot further down than we are, and about the time they explode through the lid of their casket, then we'll all go up. I don't know how that's going to work. It really doesn't make a whole lot of difference, but the Bible does say that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. I just know we're going with them, and they're not going to precede us into heaven. We're going together. Really, if I knew when Jesus was coming, I can't be at three or four places at once. I'd at least like to be at my daddy's grave when that happens. I really would. Standing there and grab hold of his hand and say, Daddy, let's go. We made it. Man, what a glorious day that's going to be. We used to sing these old songs, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face. The one who saved me by his grace. Then he takes me by the hand and leads me in to that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. And church, it's coming soon. Amen. Amen. And so they'll be raised up. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, if you want to turn over there with me, it'll be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It says, behold, Paul says in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, what the Bible say in 1 Thessalonians, the trump of God shall sound at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that saying it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 58, I didn't intend to read this, but I think it's a good verse to follow up with. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why did he write that there? He wrote that there because he knows there could come a time, and there will come a time, and there has come a time that there was tribulation and trials and problems and discouragement, and he's telling you there, folks, you're going to be changed, you're going to go to heaven one day, but be unmovable, be transfixed upon the coming of the Lord, and abound in the work of the Lord, because what you're doing is not in vain. Keep serving Jesus every day and expecting Jesus to come again in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. A twinkle in your eye is pretty quick. But one of these days, we're getting out of here. We're getting out of here, church, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now I want all of you to do this, and a twinkle of an eye is faster than what I want to ask you. I want you to blink. Just blink. You blink all the time. A twinkle, I understand, is quicker than that. That's pretty fast, because you can blink and not miss anything. But if you blink during that, you might miss it. Say you're watching and you're not ready, and you say, well, I'll watch, I'll see when it happens. You could blink and it already be happened, already be gone. Oh, you say, why's all them cars wrecked out there? Because somebody in that car was a Christian and they ain't driving no more. That's why that car's wrecked out there in that ditch and there ain't nobody in it. That's why Jesus came. You missed it. You blinked. You missed it. You weren't ready. And so we're going to be raised together with him, church, one of these days, and there'll be a transformation. Mortals shall put on immortality. Can you imagine? And this old worldly body, this old body that can be tempted and tried and you know, be led away by the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, it's going to die completely at that moment. You won't have to deal with that any longer. When you get to heaven, you won't have to worry about anything of the sin nature that's in your life anymore. You'll finally be totally sanctified. Finally. Finally. Hearts, won't you be glad for that? If nothing else, finally I don't have to deal with this flesh. I think it's going to be good. Not to have to deal with my flesh. It's always getting in my way. It's always trying to cause me to stumble. It always wants me to fall. Because it always wants its way. This body of flesh. I'll be glad when it's dead forever. And I'm raised incorruptible. Oh my goodness, can you just hear me? We'll be raised up incorruptible. You can't be sin. You'll never sin again. Never even be tempted with it again. You'll be in the presence of the Lord. I have a cousin, he likes cattle, and he told me one time, and he's probably changed his mind since then. He's probably just trying to be goofy then, but he's not good at being goofy, but he's too serious to be goofy. You know, he's just serious all the time. And sort of like me, I guess, pretty serious most of the time. Try to be goofy, it don't work. And he said, if there ain't cows in heaven, I don't want to go. So, dude, I hope you change your mind. I don't know if there's going to be cows there or not, but I just know this. I don't want to have to dodge cow patties. You know, I don't think there'll be cow chip throwing contest in heaven. There might be, but I don't think so. But he just likes cows and horses and things of that nature, and they might be there. I mean, I don't know. I really don't. I'm sure they will be. If they're not there, they'll be here when we get back for the millennial kingdom to set up his kingdom for which there'll be no end. They'll be here then. They'll still be waiting on us. Told my wife the other day, you know, as rapture takes place, I got some calves in there in this pen, and I have to water them every day. And I thought, man, if the rapture takes place, I hope somebody's left behind to come water my cows. I don't want them calves to suffer because I'm not there no more. Y'all, I told y'all about my calves the other day. They're welfare cattle, and they see me come out the door. They come for a handout. But I don't want something to happen to my calves. You know, I want them to live. If I'm not here, I still want them to live. But if they don't, well, be no skin off my nose. I'll be in heaven. It won't matter no more. I ain't going to worry about my cows. But you understand how you feel about your animals. Some of y'all got dogs like that. I care less about your dog, but I care about my cows. So I can feed my cows until I get back out in that pasture. They don't come and jump in my lap and rub hair all over me. Try to lick me in the mouth. One of these days, church, we're getting out of here. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of what we're going to do in heaven. I'm not trying to, but it does help sometimes to laugh about some things. But I'm going to tell you something. This is serious business. It's very serious business. We must stay ready for the coming of Christ. We'll be transfigured or caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, the atmosphere between heaven and earth. He's not going to step back out on this earth right now. He is not going to pollute himself at that moment, but he will step out eventually and come back and conquer this earth once and for all and destroy all of his enemies. They will be put under his feet. He's going to step out. One portion of scripture teaches us that he'll come back and set his feet on the Mount of Olives and it'll split in two. And he'll bring perfect order back to this earth as he destroys his enemies. But our enemy's been destroyed, and that's death. The Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? If you're a Christian and you go to you go to the grave, there is no sting of death. I believe that with all my heart. No sting of death. He removes the sting of death because we are born again. And so we'll be visibly reunited with reunited. I've never been united with the Lord. I've never seen him. Have you? We're not that privileged few that got to see him, but we will be united with the Lord that day. Reunited with Christ, taken to the Father's house in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Look at John 14, verse 2. And you know how this goes. In my Father's house, Jesus said, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I guess he's hanging curtains. I don't know. He's there preparing that place for us. And he says, if I go and hang the curtains, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise from Jesus, that he says, my Father has many mansions. One version says many rooms. I don't care if it's a room, if it's a mansion, a big house on a hill. I don't care whether it has curtains or don't have curtains. The drive don't even have to be paved. It just needs to be a place that Jesus is at, a place that he has prepared for you and I, and that's where I want to be. It can be a sandy dune in a desert, but if Jesus is there, it'll be heaven. Amen? I want to go there. And so he says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again for my faithful, and I will allow you and ensure that you escape the wrath of God that is to come, this future hour of testing that's coming upon this earth. I will prevent you from going through that. We will have an eternal reunion with Jesus and forever be with him. Like I said in 1 Thessalonians, it says, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. And so we're going there one of these days. I don't know. Somebody was saying earlier today in a Sunday school class that they say that there's many prophets saying there's going to be one more outpouring of the Spirit of God, a very short outpouring, but there's going to be another move of God, a great move of God that they're predicting is going to happen anytime now. Maybe we're in the beginning of that. It'll be a short move of God, and then Jesus will come. I don't know exactly. Like I told you recently, I'm not a prophet nor a son of a prophet. I'm a son of a truck driver. And a grocery clerk. I don't know why in the world, out of all the Davis clan and the Montgomery clan and Stone clan, that he called me and my two brothers and my sister to be preachers. That's something, isn't it? I still doubt about a couple of them. But anyway, me and my one brother, we're preachers. We've been pastoring a long time. And I don't know why he called us. But he did. To proclaim the good news. Isn't that something? Maybe it's for people like you. God knew you'd need somebody like me. Can you imagine needing me? To tell you the good news about Jesus Christ. Man, oh man. And this is good news today. Jesus is coming again. We'll be reunited with him, not only him, but all of our loved ones that's gone on before. Every single one of you have somebody that you know for a fact in heaven. It's not one of those people that died and never lived for God and they die and everybody goes, oh, they're in a better place today, aren't they? No, it's one of them, you know they're in a better place today because of the right just living that they did while they were on earth. It's not a doubt. There's no doubt in your mind. You know they're there, and every one of us have somebody like that, that we are looking forward to being reunited with. Some of you have husbands. Some of you have mothers. We have fathers. All of us have somebody we're looking forward to seeing again. I'm looking forward to heaven. I want to see Jesus, but I want to be reunited with my loved ones that have gone on before. But that is a blessed hope that I have, and I comfort myself with that thought that one of these days, this will all be over. There's an old song that comes to my mind, and I love singing, you all know that, and I repeat most of them all the time, same ones. But what this one goes like this, we'll soon be done with trouble and trials. One of these days, on the other side, we'll shake glad hands with the elders, tell our kindred good morning. We'll sit down beside the river. We'll sit down and rest a little while. One of these days, church, it's all over. Amen. The struggle, the trial, the temptation, the problems is over. Jesus will come again, and you'll say, it was worth it. Right now, sometimes old flesh would tell you it's not worth it. The devil will tell you, why don't you give up? Just give up. This life's not worth it. Just give up. Go have some fun. It don't matter. Treat people bad. Do bad things. It doesn't matter. Everybody goes to heaven anyway. No, they don't neither. That's a lie. But it's worth it. One of these days it'll be over. We'll soon be done. We'll be removed from all distress, from all persecution, from all oppression. We'll be removed from all of this one day when Jesus comes again. It's the blessed hope of the redeemed to get out of here. I'm ready. How about you? I'm ready to lay it down and leave it. Oh, there's nothing worth staying here for. Oh, my goodness. Just toil and trials, tribulation, persecution, aggravation. I mean, I got a good life down here. I'm not really that persecuted. My main source of aggravation is my own self. My wife every now and then. The Gillum family quite often. I'm just kidding. I can say that. Penny's not in here, so, cause she'd rise up and say, which one of us are you talking about? And you better not be talking about my kids. So, you know how we are about our kids. You can talk about me, but don't talk about my kids. No, I'm just kidding about that. Folks, most of us don't have that big of problems right now in our lives. We've got some situations, and things going on, but we are not under persecution. Our biggest source of aggravation is ourself and the lust of our flesh, the pride of life, the lust of our eyes. That's our biggest source of persecution. We are dealing with our flesh. And then life goes on. We all deal with life. But we'll soon be done. Jesus, one day, will take us out of here. And we'll be with him forever. Forever. Your mind cannot comprehend forever. Forever. That's a long time. Eternity. You could take a rope and stretch it 56 feet from that door to that door and say that's eternity. Our life would be, our point of life on this would be barely, you could take just one marks a lot and put one line around that rope and that would be your spot right now in eternity. It would barely, you wouldn't even be able to see it from where you're sitting, that little spot. That's your life. That's just kind of give you a visual. Say that's all of eternity, and you're in there somewhere, just a little bitty line that can't even be seen. That's your life on earth. Think about that just a minute. That's a long time. That's a lot of time to transpire, and all you got is just this one little spot. Not big enough, hardly to see. But yet God loves you enough to save you, to set you free from the bondage of sin, to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, to set a place at His table for you, to prepare a place for you that where He is, you can be also, because He loves you that much. And all He wants you to live for Him is just that one little speck of time. And compare that to eternity. Heaven is worth it. Being with the Lord is worth it. Doesn't matter what I go through in this life, it's worth it if I can go be with the Lord. Let me read my scripture again and then we'll close. Verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort yourself with that. You will one day be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise in the house. Give the Lord praise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. It's worth it, church. It's worth it. It's worth every struggle. It's worth it living for God. Amen. We're going someplace and it's worth getting there. It's worth getting there. Don't stress over life. Just look forward to the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of glory. Jesus is coming soon. One more closing. President-elect Trump will not, nor can he, solve the world's problems. He is not our Savior. He's only a man who's been elected president. Do not put your hope in the government. Put your hope in God. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Pray for one another, pray for your government, pray for the institution of government, but trust God. Trust God to meet your every need and look forward to the coming of Christ. This man might very well be the one that catapults us into the end times. I believe the former president, the ones in office now, has done that, has been setting us up for the Antichrist rule. No doubt it's going to happen before we know it, for too often long. But we got to be ready for the coming of Jesus. Put your hope in God, not our government. Trust God, and He will bring you through. Amen. Stand with me.